Welcome back to the podcast, Do You Know Who I Am? I'm your host, Patty Lane. Well, everyone has a story to tell, if you're willing to listen. Well, some of those stories take us to a moment in time, give us a glimpse of what someone experienced in their life. Like today's segment, let's get started.
Hi, I'm Susan Kurdick. I'm from Encinitas, California. I worked for NASA, for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, for 26 years, retired last year, so it was a very exciting career. For me, one thing that got me interested in the whole space exploration was the idea of what John F. Kennedy said. I never forgot that. I mean, he said in 1962, I was in elementary school, but he said...
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
So I was very fortunate in my career that I was really in the center of, I was in mission control for every major event of all of our spacecraft. It's hard to give that up, not to have that group of people that you're interacting with. But on the other hand, I'm doing things now that I love too, and I think that's what it's all about. It doesn't have to be changing the world, but you know, it has to be things that I still feel like somebody's world is changing.
Susan Kurdick and her husband are changing the world for children, one child at a time. After Susan retired from NASA, the couple became foster parents for babies. That's right, Susan went from being a rocket scientist to changing diapers, and she could not be happier. She says the best thing is that in both roles, she feels like she's making a difference. Here's my chat with Susan about being a foster parent and her time at NASA.
Like I said, 1962, I was elementary school. I thought, wow, that's really cool. I'd like to work for NASA. And then, you know, when we landed somebody on the moon, I was in college at the time, and I was like, wow. I was majoring in English at the time, and I thought, I was like a sophomore in college, and I thought, maybe I want to go work for NASA. Where did I lose that dream, you know? So I actually started majoring in chemistry because I had kept taking math, which is always really important for the thing I always like to tell young people when I give talks at schools. And I always mention that keep your paths open, because no matter what you think about, you know what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You don't. And so I always kept taking math, even as an English major. I was the only English major in a calculus class in college. I remember that.
Wow.
And so when I decided to switch paths, I was able to do it because I had kept up with the STEM fields. It's like any job. There's days that are boring. There's days that are stressful. There's days that are exciting. There's days that are fun. But I think for myself, I was excited every day I went to work because of why I was doing what I was doing. And I think that's what's important, is that you feel like you are making a difference, you're doing something that's important, you're doing something that matters, and you're doing something that's hard. I think for me, the problems we faced were rarely easy, sometimes impossible, and it was very fun to be part of these extremely smart, talented teams that had to come up with creative solutions. Some of them crazy, but sometimes people give an idea and you'll go, wow, yeah, why not? I mean, I remember those wow moments, and it's pretty exciting. I think the idea that you are solving problems that are true mysteries, and you know, we really don't know if they're going to work. When we go to Mars and we build spacecraft and launch them, there's times we think it's going to work. We could test it in the lab, but now it's in space and it's an environment we can only simulate. So we don't really get to test that our products are actually going to work in the environment we're sending them to. So a lot of times we know there's a lot of luck involved. So I worked on all the missions. Because I was in ground communications and mission control software, I did a lot of work that was required for every mission. You know, no matter where the mission was going, they had to talk to us. So I was very fortunate in my career that I was really in the center of, I was in mission control for every major event of all of our spacecraft. And then we started doing international collaborations. I'll show you
some of the
things I've gotten from the other space agencies. Oh, in here is something, this is a This is from the Deep Space Network. But this, okay, so let me just tell you. This was from the European mission, mm-hmm. Philae, the lander that landed on a comet, the Rosetta mission. They just and it's going to actually dive into this comet. The actual spacecraft had a lander that landed on it. This is an actual, completely correct
replica
3D of wow. the comet. And they gave it to me the last time I was there. The last time I went there, they gave this to me as, you know, thanking me for what I had done for them. So yeah, and as they. And then this I got from the. So you see, this is from the Indians. This is a replica. This is after they gave this to us. No one at JPL ever gave us one of these. This is an actual replica of their Mars orbiter mission, the one that they had. We helped them land on the surface of Mars. When we work with other countries, there is no politics. It's really all about the science, and there's something about that that can unite people in a way that nothing else can. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure art does, and just anything that gets you outside of what might cause discontent. In this, we always feel like a team. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't feel like, as far as in space exploration, we don't feel the competition. We feel the community. And it takes a village, and it takes a big village now because of the challenges and the difficulties. We have to help each other. It helps each of us to be partnering with each other. So when I started at JPL, I never imagined what it would be like. Never. What happened, or what we accomplished, you could never have told me we would have done, you know, even down to the last landing Curiosity on a sky crane, you know, what? So I think, though, what's coming with the expertise people have built, the international collaboration, the passion people have for space now, and what we've discovered so far is so motivating. Every time we go somewhere, we find out it's not like we thought it was. I mean, you rethink your place in the universe when you realize just even how far away the planets are. You know, I think there's just so much that you can learn and can change about yourself, about your future. And of course, I always liked the line that, you know, the dinosaurs went extinct because they did not have a space program. Now, that may sound silly, but it's actually could be partly true. There's a lot of theories that an asteroid wiped them out. We can have another asteroid. I mean, this is a big space and a lot of it's empty, but if another asteroid came, we need to know what to do with it. We may need to go out there and kind of help redirect it. You know, there's ways to do that. I mean, it's a funny line, but it's true that a space program is probably important for our survival. I mean, the sun's going to burn out in 5 billion years. We better figure out what we're doing. But in the end, I think it's about figuring out the unknowns, answering these mysteries. Where did we come from? Where are we going? And I think the biggest question that drives so many people is, are we alone? Yeah. Obviously, are we alone? Is life unique to Earth when there's, you know, the statistics, 100 billion stars in our galaxy, 100 billion galaxies, is there really, and the thousands of exoplanets that Kepler has discovered, it's hard to imagine that there isn't life in some form out there. But, so I think that's a big driver, is trying to learn that too. I think we all are driven by figuring out, is there life outside Earth? I think most people would suspect that, at least within our solar system, unless we find Planet Nine out there, it's different, but that within our solar system, probably the life we would find is bacterial or, you know, very microscopic, only because they haven't contacted us. We're not that far away.
With all of this that you've been involved with the JPL, how hard was it for you to leave that?
It was very hard. It was very hard. I think to actually step away from that excitement, because like I said, I was doing a lot of the international collaborations at the end. But You know, I think when, so some of the things I've chosen to do, I feel like give me the kind of, not the same feelings, but I think it makes it okay. I'm okay with it. I miss the stimulation. It's missing not even the critical events, but missing the stimulation of the people you work with. It's hard to give that up, not to have that group of people that you're interacting with. But on the other hand, I'm doing things now that I love too, and I think that's what it's all about. It doesn't have to be changing the world, but you know, it has to be things that I still feel like somebody's world is changing. So this is the room at the crib and the baby's room. We had this as a guest room, and then when we decided we were going to do fostering, it became the baby room. And so we have the crib and we have toys. The closet has become the baby closet. We have baby clothes. I keep all of their outfits in drawers here, and I keep, as the kids age out of their clothes, I store and put them away so that when we have another baby, we'll start with some clothes. And when the children are reunited with their parents, or we had one baby that went to an adoptive family, and we had a baby that went back to extended family, we always pack up all their clothes that still fit, and we send them all with them, their favorite toys. I always make sure they have something that smells like us, because this is pretty traumatic for the kids. Any move the kids make from the family to us, then from us to the next placement, it's always difficult for these kids. They're losing people, you know, and when they lose us, I get emotional.
Well, no, I bet it is emotional for you too.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible, because with these children, you have to attach. I mean, that's your job, is to attach unconditionally. And you really feel like these kids are your own. And it's kind of like giving up your own kids. You don't really do. But you know they're in the right place. We had one child that, because mom was not able to be reunited for various reasons, they asked us, would you like to adopt? She was thriving with us. She was doing great. We loved her. She loved us. And that, we're like, oh. You know, at our age, we knew the math wasn't going to work out. It just wasn't going to work out. But, oh, we were tempted. We kept saying, for her best interests, we have to do this. So when we gave her to another family, it just felt like you were losing your baby. You know, but the family has kept contact. They come over for birthdays. They come over at least once a month. And so we've kept contact. And so we basically have got another family, not just another baby. So
it made it a little bit easier.
It makes it a lot easier, but you still love them, and there's nothing that's, in fact, in some ways they're not your own, but it becomes very deep, because these kids don't have anybody. This baby didn't have any, you know, father was unknown. Mom was not able to visit with her. So we were it. And she only had us. So you feel this special connection, because these children are so vulnerable and they're so depending on you to be there for them. The hardest thing for these children is that they don't have a stable, you know, environment, that they're just, people are coming in and out of their lives. So it's really, you can see these kids, how much they embrace the idea that somebody's there all the time. And I think my husband and I are both retired, so what makes it good for retired people, sometimes people don't even place themselves in a parent role. But for these kids, this is the kind of place where I think if people are willing to do it, you are there all the time. You know, my husband and I are both retired, but we are able to back each other up if one isn't there. And so the baby has always got someone here, and it provides that kind of special stability these kids need, you know. And kids that are your own, they kind of feel loved. They've got a support net. They've got all kinds of extended family. For these kids, sometimes you're the only thing they have. So it's really nice. We don't have to put them in daycare, and we can be there for them and give them a real sense of security.
What does it do for you knowing that you can have an imprint on a child's life at such a young age that can be lifelong?
I think that's what, for me, choosing any career or choice of what I'm going to do is, a lot of it, it's all dependent on, can I change the world? You know, can I? And that doesn't mean the world. I mean, when I was working at JPL and NASA and we were exploring the solar system and deep space, I did feel like you can make changes that change the future for everybody, and big changes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not changing the world, but I'm changing a baby's world.
Wow.
So that to me is, you know, sometimes that's, you know, I'm not going to say one's better than the other. It's just a way you can make a difference.
And I think, and you can see that difference. I mean, obviously it affects you.
Right.
Because
right. You see these children and how they start out. They're all confused when you first pick them up. They don't know who you are, why they're not with the people they've been with. And when you then, after a month, and they're like looking to you as somebody they really trust and are attached to, you feel, you know, you made a difference in their lives. And so that's really good. That feels really good. Same thing when we landed a rover on Mars. You know, I mean, that felt amazing. But all of these things, I think it's about making a difference. I remember one time somebody said, I want my life, at the end of my life, to say it mattered. My life mattered. And that's, I think, part of what, to me, is important. It doesn't mean it's only fostering is the only way you do that. There can be many different ways that you matter. But when you matter to a tiny little human being that's so sweet and cute and wonderful and just hugs you like you're the best person on earth, well, who's not going to like that?
There are more than 60,000 children in foster care in California. Susan and her husband, who is a retired college professor, receive their training and assistance through the Angel Foster Family Network, a nonprofit that helps to place children with foster families. Well, Susan has not given up on her love for space exploration, though. She volunteers as an ambassador for NASA's Solar System Ambassador Program, where she shares with young people the challenges and joy of deep space exploration. I'm Patty Lane. Thanks for listening to Do You Know Who I Am? And check back for another segment. Remember, everyone has a story to tell. You just have to be willing to listen.